Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota. This is the Cup of Goodness program. It's good to have you with me here this morning. If you have been through your previous 88 lessons, it's really good to have you here this morning. That means you're listening and you're interested and you're curious about what we're talking about here. And if this is your first program, listen up. I'm going to be showing you what the goodness of God is. Keep in mind that the goodness of God can be found only in the King James Bible, and it can only be found in Paul's books, Paul's teachings from the risen Savior. Everybody that's anywhere close to being a Christian says they believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, but for some reason the pastors and all the teachers and the believers as such tend to ignore or hate and reject Paul's teachings, because those teachings are from the risen Savior. I mean, they believe that Jesus died and rose again, but they don't want to listen to what he taught when he rose again. And people are caught up for the Great Commission, and the pastors who don't believe in speaking in tongues and signs and miracles and wonders and all that stuff still teach the Great Commission, where in Mark chapter 16, all those signs and wonders and things have to follow the Great Commission. Other than the blindness and the deception, et cetera, and colleges and teachers and all that stuff, it's an amazing thing. I just look back to a church that I had gotten my start in back in Las Vegas many, many years ago. I was just surprised as I'll get out. Not shocked. Maybe I shouldn't even say surprised, but disappointed. It's just Great Commission all the way. He's got the big screens up. It's all worship this and worship that. And I sure would think that he would know better, knowing the Bible as much as he does. So maybe your thoughts are, well, see, these guys that know their Bible so well, and I, meaning me, is so uneducated in the Bible. Well, listen, all you have to do to be educated in the Bible is to read it. Don't have to find the version you want. You don't have to follow a teacher that teaches you what you want to hear. Matter of fact, for some reason, most people just don't want to hear what the risen Savior teaches. And it's the goodness of God, the forbearance and long-suffering. It's a puzzle to me, but here we are. Monday morning, program 89, and we're just going to keep right on going here. We're going back through Jeremiah and Isaiah and the next day or so, and we're looking at some quotes that Jeremiah said. His ministry was to tell God's people that they were rejecting his words. Jeremiah went through the frustrations and the disappointments and the challenges and the harassment, his own family seeking to watch him fall because of what it was he was preaching. And I know a lot of preachers out there, pretty much all of them, say that Jeremiah was the weeping prophet and his ministry failed. His ministry did not fail. He said what he had to say, and the people rejected him, and they went on into Nebuchadnezzar, which is the type of Antichrist. So when we read these quotes that Jeremiah stated to the Jews, you know, we're living long enough for the Gentiles are also not interested in the words of God. They think they have the word of God in their Bible, but what we're looking at here are the very words of God in the King James Bible. So we're just going to look at those quotes that he said towards the Jews, and we're going to just understand that that's exactly what's going on with the Gentile today. Let's just get right into it. We made it into Jeremiah. So we are now in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 20. So Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 20, if you grab your Bible, and maybe your pencil and paper, whatever, or just follow along here. I'm in the King James Bible. You can follow whichever Bible you want to use. You will realize they don't say the same things here at all. And I'm just going to read it from a King James Bible. It's not a difficult Bible to learn, to listen to. It's not a difficult Bible to read. Certainly it's not a difficult Bible to understand. And nobody says it better than God himself when he told Jeremiah what to say. Here we go, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. If a person looks the fact that this King James Bible is the only word of God, it's the only place you'll find scriptures that are the scriptures, every word and words are inspired and preserved by God, then you would understand how we can say, when the Gentiles were taught what they were taught from the goodness of God, they have now perverted their way, and they've forgotten the Lord their God. When the Gentiles first heard about this stuff from Paul, they were full of joy. And now today, they're full of hatred. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22. It says here, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. If I were to ask you, list me 10, 15, 20 things or whatever that you could do in your day-to-day life by choice that would please God, could you list them? You'd probably come up with some of the goodness things that you've been taught in your life. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But I can guarantee that most everybody will pull their stuff out of the Beatitudes and out of Matthew. But how many would understand to go to Paul's books, to go to Timothy? Those are the ways of Paul that Paul told Timothy that should be taught in the church, everywhere. Titus, that's where you would find sound doctrine. Titus chapter 2, 1st, 2nd Timothy. A little bit in 1 Thessalonians even. Is that where you would turn? Or do you have none understanding? Are you wise to do evil? Do you have no knowledge of what it is to do good? Now remember, to do good is by choice. Christ takes care of sin. Christ takes care of so many things. But he also says in Thessalonians, listen, you know, you guys looked up here. I'll just dig it up here and look at it here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, that's Paul and Barnabas and Timothy and these guys, how ye ought to walk and to please God. Are the things that you know to please God from Paul? Or are they from the apostles? Well, how could they be so bad? I mean, they're both good things. Well, yeah, but one's directed to the Jews and one's directed to the Gentiles. So if God wanted Paul to teach some of the things that Jesus taught to the Jews, Paul will have those in his books. And if there's some things in the gospel that Jesus doesn't teach to the Gentiles, Paul won't talk about them. They won't be mentioned. So why do people have to go to the gospels? Why don't they go to the risen Savior's teachings anyway? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 30. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? That's good. It's said so well. Prophets would be the Old Testament prophets, okay? And the priests, obviously, as well, the tabernacle and everything. So let's just look at this and look to this to the pastors today. Pastors preach falsely. And here's the kicker statement. And my people love to have it so. It just seems that what the pastors are preaching in our churches today, the music that's going on in the churches, the different doctrines, the acceptance of all the different perverted lifestyles, and the people love to have it so. That's how it goes. Like I say, nobody says it better than God. And in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31, he says, my people love to have it so. The question would arise, see, this is Jeremiah talking, but would God say, my people love to have it so today? Well, not to get off into a bunny trail I can't talk about, we haven't got the time. I would have to question, are these people in the churches today following the Great Commission with all these different Bibles that are not the gospel of their salvation, that are not the word of truth? Are they really his people? We'll talk about that one of these days, but I can pretty much give you a clue. I think the scriptures attest that they're not his people. Remember, we have an Antichrist that's trying to put everything together, so when he comes down, everybody will be waiting for him. So keep that in mind, folks. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 6. Let's go to verse 10. Jeremiah here speaking again. Although this is God speaking, you remember God said he would give the words for Jeremiah to speak. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad, and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with a wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. You can't say it any better than that. And here, Jeremiah, again, speaking for the Lord, I'm weary with holding in. We have to remember, though, Jeremiah wanted to just tell people, he wanted to preach at them, and he wanted to tell them off, and he wanted to really turn the storm on. And yet, Paul tells us today, He tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23, "Foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." So as much as we probably like to be like Jeremiah, and just go out there and just let it rip, that's not the way Paul would have us be preaching and teaching today. But still, look at Jeremiah. "I am weary with holding in." Do we not get weary? Those of you out there that understand the King James Bible, understand rightly dividing, I'm not sure if you're out there, but I know the Webb family's listening in, we get weary with holding in. And then when he says, "And their houses shall be turned unto others, and their fields and wives together. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely." The pastors today, just about everyone is dealing falsely. Yep, that's Jeremiah. We're still in chapter 6. Let's look at verse 16. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." This is a classic verse that I know a lot of Baptistic type people, a lot of King James type people, a lot of sincere, serious Christians go to. "Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths." What do they consider the old paths? Now they go back to the more respectful way, the higher standards, the more modest ways. And what this turns into, though, that I have seen in my years in the ministry, is where people go back to the old ways and they think that's what makes them a Christian. And they have to remember, and they have to be taught, not just remember, but they have to be taught that in early America, listen, folks, the old ways was Paul. They didn't have to be kind of slapped in the face as such with an emphasis on rightly dividing the word of truth. They didn't need to do that. This Bible is in dispensational order. So if you just read this from cover to cover, and you slow down and you get to Jesus in the Gospels, and then you realize what took place there, then it goes right on to the Great Commission. Well, they killed Stephen. Goes right on to the Gentiles, and there's the way that pleases God. That's the risen Savior. And the people in America, that's the old paths. The old paths is not the law, which is what Jeremiah would be talking about here. But when he says, ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls, that's true. We just have to remember today that the old paths today are Paul's ways, because that's the way it used to be. And here's my question, see, I won't take this bloody trail too deep at all. I'll just say that in Titus chapter 2, for example, where it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing themselves a pattern of good works." And it goes on. That's the old paths. Paul talks about Timothy. When Timothy and Titus would show up at his people to be preaching and teaching to, they were met with joy. Do you get a joy out of reading Timothy and Titus in the King James Bible? If you do, it's because you are really trying hard to live the way the risen Savior would have you live to please God. So when you read that stuff, you don't feel guilty. You don't feel awful. You understand Paul's teachings about sin. You understand what Christ has done, that we should have that joy in spite of the life we live down here. All things are lawful, but we know that all things are not expedient, etc., etc. So when Jeremiah says, you know, ask for the old paths and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls, I don't think, unless you're a King James Bible believing, Paul following, rightly dividing the word of truth, following the risen Savior, I don't think you know what it means to rest for your soul. I don't think you understand what true peace of God, peace from God, peace with God, and the God of peace, what that really truly means. And this world is just falling apart. In this country, which is just Well, won't get into politics here, but you know what's going on. Do you find rest for your soul when you look to a King James Bible, when you look to Paul? For some reason, people think that God is a hateful God. God is not a hateful God. They haven't been taught about the goodness of God. They haven't been taught about the rest for their souls. Talk about peace and rest only found in the risen Savior. Only found because Christ took care of the law to them that believe. Only found because of the riches of understanding. Only there because of the peace that passeth all understanding. So where is the good way? It's with Paul. So ask for the old paths. Get back into what wanting to be the Christian that Timothy and Titus preach and teach that Paul told them what to preach here. Then 17, verse 17, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Unfortunately, the preachers and pastors aren't preaching from their trumpets what they're supposed to. They kind of jazzed up their trumpets and rocked up their trumpets, and that's what the people are hearkening to. They have itching ears, and those itching ears are being tickled. Paul talks about that in Timothy as well. So there's how you look at Jeremiah 6:16, folks. Well, those people that think that's a marvelous verse, it is. But you've got to understand, Jeremiah was telling the people to go back to the old ways, the way it was before. Now we use that quote. We just have to remember we're talking about going back to Paul. Let's continue here. Let's go to chapter 7, verse 4. Boy, here we go. This is just going to get that much even better this morning here. Oh, we're down to 20 minutes already. Oh, time goes by so fast when you're having fun. Chapter 7, verse 4 says here, trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. How many times do you hear your pastor tell you, I'm telling you, God wants you to do this. God says this. This is the church. Come to this church when the doors are open. And it's all about God. It's all about God. It's all about the truth. And yet they've got 300 and some different Bible versions out there. They hate the King James Bible. They're rejecting their teachings from the risen Savior. They're teaching the Jews. They're teaching the material. They're teaching the teachings that are supposed to be taught to the Jews during the days of the Gospels, ignoring everything that Paul's supposed to be teaching to them. They're trusting in lying words. Then you go to verse 8. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Marvelous, marvelous way of saying things. Very simple. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Then we go down to verse 17. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough, to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger? Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Okay, Queen of Heaven. Who is the Queen of Heaven? That's not too obvious today. And if you look at all the different denominations, including the Baptist Church, I've studied their teachings, I've watched them over these years, and everything boils back to the Catholic system. And Catholics that are listening to this program, this music, et cetera, et cetera, and happen to be listening to this program, listen, what I heard Catholics teach 20 years ago, they would never call themselves Christians. I would say to somebody when I was out knocking on doors and trying to talk to people, I would say, are you a Christian? And they say, no, I'm a Catholic. So now today, they call themselves Christians. And then I just heard yesterday that Mormons are calling themselves Christians. Well, it wasn't that long ago. Mormons said Christianity was horribly wrong. You're not a Christian, you're a Mormon. Now they're using the word Christians. And the Mormon Church is just an offshoot of the Catholic Church, much as they say they hate them. Oh, a bunny trail there could go on for the rest of the fall season here. But the verse I want you to really get a hold of here is in verse 19. Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? What's going on today? They're just confusing things for themselves. Different Bibles, different denominations, different churches, different doctrines, different pastors, different styles, different kind of music styles, different standards, all sorts of different things anymore. Is it any wonder why anybody who hasn't heard the truth about Jesus Christ or about God or what's being taught in the schools, et cetera, nothing but confusion. And then we come along with this stuff about Paul and the risen Savior. They just go, whatever, I'm gone, I'm not interested. There can't possibly be a God with all these different kind of things. Or they say, yep, if you just love God and you love people, then everything will work out at the end, because if you didn't know the truth, at least you tried. If you're sincere, if you love everybody. They're confused. I so like how he puts it. Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? That is so good. Let's go to 23, verse 23. Jeremiah 7, verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Okay, well, that's good. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. So he says in verse 24, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. That is so good. For you King James guys, the web family out there listening to this morning, but they hearkened not. People are not hearing. They hearkened not, nor inclined their ear. They didn't even lean. They're not even interested. But walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart. Well, let's say that sentence the way he wants it to be understood. And walked in the counsels of their evil heart and in the imagination of their evil heart. And then it says, and went backward and not forward. Really, this whole thing is taking everybody back. Another bunny trail down a different trail if we had to take the time for that. But that's what he says. And I think we understand what he's saying there. And then verse 30. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. Now we realize that the local church, this is a kingdom of heaven. This is a physical kingdom time in the Old Testament. So yes, the house which is called by my name, they took their abominations, they did the evil, they took that evil, and they took them into their church buildings, their temple buildings, their house, the house that was called by his name. And it polluted them. Now we know that the churches today, the physical churches, that's supposed to be just a type of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not anything to do with the local church buildings. The body of Christ is the body of Christ. We're part of his body. So we're clean. But if you just look at the church buildings, think about what they're teaching. They're teaching Jewish teachings. Think of how much they respect and lift holily their church building and their church denomination. And then look at what's taken place. If they believe that that's the church, if you know what I mean, well, they're bringing the abominations of the world into that house, into that building. Look at the music. Look at the way people are dressed. Look at who's running the show. Look at who's in charge of this and in charge of that, in charge of this and in charge of that. It's so different than what Paul teaches should be taking place in the local church. Acts chapter 2 is the design of the early church. Ephesians chapter 4 is the design and the objectives of the Gentile church, the local assembly. There's a purpose for that. So really, what's going on in our churches today? We've left them. Not interested. I pretty much promised never to walk inside a church door again, unless it's one that's teaching Paul and the King James Bible rightly divided, the way it's supposed to be rightly divided, according to the way the King James Bible states it. It's that simple. And I don't expect to find anything anywhere. I had one, and the people didn't want it. I tried to start one, and the people didn't want it. So what's going on? In order to have a church today, you got to be bringing in those worldly abominations, and the people will come to it. Do you understand? We don't have to have the local assembly in the building today. But there is a teaching for the local church to follow. Well, they used to do that. The ways of Paul used to be taught in those local assemblies in those churches. But they did bring the abominations into those churches, and now everybody loves them, except there's always one or two guys, one or two people in that church, maybe ladies, maybe guys, whatever, that realize something's wrong. What is going on? When somebody teaches them about Paul and the risen Savior in the King James Bible, they look at that, I've heard this a number of times, and they say, that's exactly what's going on. And some of them try to stay there and help the people out, but they don't last very long. Some of the people go to the pastors and try to tell them what they see going on, and the pastors just get angry and accusatorious towards them, make all sorts of claims, you're just not following God, God will get you for it. The thing to do is just get out of the polluted house. There's nothing else you're going to do about it, as Paul did. As we do. Well, I can already tell We run out of time, and we only made 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different places. I got a long list to go yet, so we'll just pick it up again tomorrow morning. Get your pastor to come and listen. Get your pastor to talk about these things. Make sure you use the scriptures. Make sure you use the King James Bible. I just don't understand how they can teach the Great Commission and teach the whole chapter of Mark 16, the end of it. And how can they hate Paul so much? What's the story? Why don't they teach Titus, Timothy? Oh, there's so many things in there. Well, I do know why. Matter of fact, I've got a tract on my website that explains why pastors don't dare preach Paul and the risen Savior. But anyway, hop in the website, www.scatteredchristians.org, or email me, susaman@bechtel.com. You can get the address off my website. We'll talk to you folks tomorrow. Bring some folks with you.